was a revelation, man. You become a youth now.
Come, let me remove.
I was, Daniel, I was telling all the uncle and auntie to come forward. Boy, what? Look at that exodus. The whole church is gone. What an exodus, man. Suddenly it's quiet, huh? No breathing. All the lungs have gone already. Oh, man, beautiful, man. It's so nice to see them go out, the young kids, huh? God is doing a good work, church. That's your next generation. That's your leadership. That's your grandchildren's leaders. Amen? Your grandchildren's leaders. So you better take care of them. Amen. A church that can find the replacement for next generation is a church that is doing well. We must always reproduce and multiply for the next generation. We are not going to live here forever. Our days are marked. Our days are numbered. Let's live a life that is profitable for God. Amen? Not only for yourself, but profitable for the work of God. We know how to make profits in life. We know how to do business. We know how to make money. But how about learning to make disciples? Come on, church. Money is temporary. The disciples are eternal. Make disciples. Make disciples. Because even as you are silent in this world, they will be singing praises to God. They will echo your heart's praises to God. Amen? God is good. Amen. I love the song. You know, those kids are wonderful. In their simple ways, they made beautiful worship for us. Amen? They sang out of a heart that really wants to worship God. And they were so excited and full of zeal and energy. So sometimes when I look at them, I say, where did my energy go now? Huh? Serious. Huh? I want to do, but the body say, hey, cannot. Too old already, don't do. But the spirit want to do. You know, we were at a church not too long, and everybody was jumping, you know, Kenny. And then I also want to jump, but I'm thinking, now if I fall down, because my doctor told me, he said, Pastor Michelle, listen, before you do anything, plan the way to come up. Because if you go down, cannot come up, die. Have to call the crane. So he said, plan a way. And you know, excitement is contagious. It catches on fast. It's very contagious. Do you know sorrow is also contagious? Don't look like papaya, please. Smile a bit. You look at papaya, I also feel like papaya now. After eating so many plates of rice. Huh? But you know, I like the song, Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Close your night with Holy Spirit. Start your day with the Holy Spirit. Live the day with the Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. He is the abiding presence of God. Jesus personally declared, when I go, I'll send you someone. Because Jesus knows that you and I will remain as orphans if we don't have the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll give you someone, a living one. Listen, church, the Holy Spirit is not a dead thing. Huh? He's a living one. He'll live with you, walk with you, side by side, talk to you, comfort you, convict you. He will be my living presence. Amen. You know, when we die, we leave a vacuum in our families. Isn't that true? That presence is dead. Memories alive, but presence dead. We live on memories. But when Jesus was going to go, he didn't want to leave us only memories. He wanted to leave us a living memory of the Holy Spirit being with you. Amen? Alive. Very much alive. You know, I don't know about you and your Holy Spirit encounter, but if you are a person that has been born in the Holy Spirit, you know the Holy Spirit is a very powerful thing. I was doing a deliverance. You know, it's deliverance. Every drug addict that we help, we do deliverance. Because every drug addict that takes drug is taken into a spiritual realm. I was in the Golden Triangle. You know, it's the Golden Triangle, Laos, Cambodia, and all this. And I was doing drug work there. And I spied on the work. I can't go there because they'll shoot me. The soldiers run the place. And I can't hide myself. My face is white and can be seen. I look different from the Cambodians. Huh? They're so nice and small. I'm so tall. But I managed to spy into the temple. Every harvest, they bring the drugs into the temple. And in that temple, there's a 24-hour prayer meeting going on. Every bag of heroin is brought in, and the monks will chant this. This is what they chant. He who eats of it will come back. He who eats of it will come back. He who eats of it. He chants a curse that you eat on that, you come back for it. That's why every drug addict is under the bondage of spiritual attacks. That's why we do deliverance. We break that bondage on them because the curse was put on it. He who eats of it will come back. That's why addiction is very hard to break. It's a bondage. So one day I was doing a deliverance for a drug addict. He's about Pastor Kenny's size or maybe smaller. But when he was on drugs, he could carry me. Yes, carry me. Not many people could carry me. Only my mother carried me. Huh? He carried me and threw me away. I'm 112 kilos at that time. Huh? And we fought with him. We did a deliverance from morning till evening. And we broke the deliverance. After we broke everything, he was just a simple dude. Like one potato only. Just sound like one bag. But you know, after all the deliverance I did, I was exhausted, physically exhausted, mentally exhausted, spiritually exhausted. I started to drive. I want to go home. Let me ask you honestly, in your life, how many of you drive? How many of you have driven more than 10 years as a driver? I was driving back that day, a dark evening, after fighting the devil for 12 hours. While I was taking the bend on the freeway, 4 tires blew at one time. And my vehicle tilted over to go down. Tilted like that. And I'm sitting and I can see, amen. Lord, I said, Lord, 4 tires blew. 4 tires. Those days got no mobile phone, huh? How to call? No mobile phone. I sat in that truck and I prayed. And believe it or not, one of my staff was coming out. And he saw, he said, hey, what's going on? And he stopped and he said, come, Pastor Richard, what's up? I said, don't move, don't shake the thing. Don't shake, bro. Don't shake any, don't even breathe, bro. I'm going to go down. Too close, I said, looking at that. Came and managed to stop. He helped me and we sat down and just said, how can 4 tires blow simultaneously? It has to be the bad, dark world. And I told you, I don't believe in coincidences. Huh? I don't. I believe it was a spiritual attack. You know why? Because there's an evil spirit, the Bible says, that is roaming about, waiting to devour, to destroy, and to kill each one of us. The forces of darkness. And that's why Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. Amen? Do you have that Spirit? I think Paul wrote it beautifully in his letter. He said, we are punching, we don't know where our enemy is. You punch here, he punch there. So we need the Holy Spirit who can see him and punch him. The Holy Spirit is God's presence. And tonight I want to just share, tonight just for bonus sake, I give you a second slide. I feel a bit good. After having a long chat with Daniel, I felt so good, you know. So I thought, as a gesture of good kindness, I put one more slide for you. Huh? Amen? So don't you always remember he one slider only. Huh? I give you two signs. But this evening, I want to do this. It says, he will give you another helper. Jesus knows. You know, friend, let me tell you. Help, it's nothing to be ashamed when you need help. We all need help. We need help. There are moments in our life we can't do. We need... You know, I don't know, but I grew up in a day where computer was never born. I don't know. I never heard of a computer. I did a law exam, 52 pages. 52. Right. No rubber. You cancel only, the page gone. Today you cut, choo, paste. Cut, choo, paste. Cut, choo, paste. Pass up. Simple for you guys. Those days, I have to write. You see my right hand stronger than my left hand? Writing. Writing, writing. Cannot erase. Exam paper. Cannot cancel. Must write. Very tiring, no? No. Today, you got all the help in life. Cut, paste. Cut, paste, sign, pass out. Today, got that guy called, what? ChatGP. He's a doctor. ChatGP. Oh, TP, okay, sorry, see it wrong, eh? I also don't know this guy well now. You can help you. You know the amount of help you have, and still we cry for more help. Very true or not? So much of help. But Jesus knew from the very beginning, we are people who need help. And so he said, I'll give you one fantastic dynamite guy. Called the Holy Spirit. He will be your help. But treat him well. If you bless him, oh boy, he'll take the daylight out of you. But he's going to send us a help. And this evening, I want to speak on this, that Jesus said the Holy Spirit is actually God's personal presence for you. You know, remember, our God is a very personal God. He talks in very personal terms, huh? You, I love you with an everlasting love. You are the apple of my eye. I have graved your name. Always you. Very personal. And he said, I'll give you a helper. Your personal helper. Wow. Isa, a Chinese here. Wow, really? Can you know, huh? I got personal helper. No need to pay money, one. Free. Don't abuse, huh? But he said, I'm going to give you a helper. And this evening, I want to look at that verse, especially that verse that is there. It says in John chapter 14. Okay, now I did a second bonus. Can you put that slide? Hey, you see, sister, you're faster than me. Sister, pangchan a bit. What's it, lao leo leo? So good. I turn only, I see. Wow, what happened? Wow, I also got shocked. Yeah, I'm trying to feed up with the... You are so good, man. Man, Kenny, you got wonderful help, Kenny. Pastor Kenny, take care of your help. But I want to read with you. Read with me this year. And he said, and I will ask the Father. Listen, Jesus in talking. I, Jesus, will ask my Father and he will give you another... Hey, he's so confident. He didn't say, I will try and solicit with my dad. No, he didn't say, sorry. I will ask and he will give. How affirmative, how assurance that God is, I will ask. You need, I'll ask. You want, I'll give you. You knock, I'll open. I will give you. I will give you a helper to be with you. Hey, come on, Jai. Forever and ever. Forever, to be forever, not part-time, not contract, 2 years, full-time, forever. Better than your wife and husband, forever. He will give us forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. Now listen carefully. It said the world never sees or know him. That's why they cannot have him. You and I can see him and know him. That's why we have him. Look at it. I'm not playing with the words. The world cannot because they don't know. Do you know him? You can see him and you can have him. Think about it. The Word of God. Have you seen him? I've seen the Holy Spirit in many forms, in many pictorial forms, in many lives. I've seen. There is no one face of his, but I've seen the face of his in many lives. I've seen a drug addict delivered from drugs, and you see the picture of that pictorial face of joy, of deliverance and freedom is the face of the Holy Spirit. Broken out from bondage. Delivered from prison. Look at that face. It's the face of a Holy Spirit working in their life. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. He dwells with you. You know, the Spirit presence of God is so rich, so powerful, so much more. We are just scratching the top only. There's so much more of him that wants to dwell in you. You know, I grew up in a brethren church. Girls sit there, boys sit here. You don't look at girls in church. The elder catch you, you're in trouble. The lady all cover their head with linen. Yes, that's a church. You don't carry your hand, hallelujah. He'll call you to the room for scolding. Huh? You just sit down, solemn. Sing, sing, stand, stand, sit, sit, sit. I grew up in that church. Very solemn church. One piano so big, the person playing it is as old as the piano. Hey, sorry, sir. Yeah, I mean senior already, huh? Playing the piano. No guitar. Guitar is not of the devil. No rock band, no Deep Purple or what band up there. Just one, dun, dun, dun. Solemn. You want to go for toilet or so, you're frightened because everybody looking. Your Bible you put on the floor, you're going to go to hell. Your Bible must hold in church. Nice church. Very peaceful church. No noise. Very solemn. And then I met my wife to be. I went to a church. People jumping. Hallelujah. Hey, why put your hand up? I ask, got any problem? Never your hand put up. In school, your teacher say you need anything, you put your hand up. You don't put your hand up for no reason. Another church, singing, music, guitar. Who is the lead worship leader? Pastor Kentio. Kentio was a youth leader. Who was dynamic? Hey, Pastor Kentio was a dynamic youth leader. As N, he was in church. Che, dangries in my church, wear pants. You wear dangries, take the pants and throw out. I say, how come Kenny jumping on the stage? Just came back from Harvest Bible College. And I said, it's a church. And I thought for a moment, what's the difference? Until my pastor talked about Holy Spirit. And I said, man, bro, I'm also holy, but now I'm a Christian. But should be holy. Christians are holy, what? My spirit already holy, what? I became a Christian. And then one day he talked about speaking in tongues. I was thinking, bro, you okay or not? Speak in tongues. I say, every day I talk, I use my tongue, what? Where God speak with no tongue? Yes, I said, speak with tongue, what? Every day I talk with my tongue, I said. He said, no, speaking in tongues. Now, what is that? Where do you go and get another tongue? Hire from the tongue shop. Then one day in a live group, in the live group, the Lord zapped me. Not in a church, in a live group. In a live group, I got zapped. And then for the first time, I was introduced to the Holy Spirit. My life took a different view. The lenses became wider. The lenses became sharper. The lenses declared to me that there is something greater for you, the Holy Spirit. I've never gone back. I mean, I still love that church, huh? You know, Trinity Church, Singapore? Some of my pastors were there. We all grew up from Bethesda, Frankel. And I went and I thought, wow, how come I never knew there's a thing called the Holy Spirit? You know, I read the Bible. I tell you, the fastest Bible reader I've ever... I love reading. I read from back to front to back. Hey, really go through the pages, not first page, and it's the last page, huh? I read, and I looked at it, and I went to study the Bible. Because something illuminated within me an illumination that this brought within me a heart of discovery. I want to discover. What is this? What is this? And then I realized, I went out to the altar one day. My pastor called me. He said, I don't know if you heard this pastor called Fred Siebert, the number one pioneering missionary in Singapore. He said, Pastor Miso, you need deliverance. I said, why deliver for what? I am not carrying any baby. Deliver what? He said, you need. And believe you or not, he did for me a deliverance. And after that, he told me, Pastor Miso, I took out a couple of violent spirits from you. He said, you almost smashed my face during the deliverance. Yes, man. I had a violent spirit in me. I never knew that. When the Holy Spirit came, it started evicting all these other spirits. It started in an eviction program. All these were going kicked in. And I became a confused channel. These guys were fighting for residence. Here, the Holy Spirit said, get lost. And there was a confusion. And I went through. I tell you, when I came out, I was a changed man. You know, for me in church, just one word, I can punch someone. Even though I was safe. Because I come from a very hostile kind of background. Don't provoke me. But when I had that, suddenly I felt the emptying of myself. I don't know if you have felt that. Something emptied out. Something emptied out and something filled it. That spirit that came in gave me such boldness, such courage. Paul told Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but a boldness and courage. A courage to stand for my belief. A courage. No longer the courage to go and beat people on the road. But a courage to stand. Why? Because He came to be with me. And this evening I want to labor on that verse. There is so much truth from that verse that I want to take and bring to each one of you. If you don't have that Holy Spirit, if you're seeking that Spirit, you're seeking the rich presence of God. Amen? It's not a one time in, one time out. No, it's a permanency. Let me tell you, you cannot evict him, but you can hurt him by living in sin. Do you know that? Be careful, church. I think if you want to see your ministry grow, you want to see yourself grow, there's something called the Holy Spirit. You and I need that Holy Spirit into our lives. Because if you don't have it, we're not going to see what God does. Number one, this verse tells us this. He said, I will ask the Father and He will give you. You know what He's saying? Jesus makes a promise with you. He's the promise maker. We are promise breakers. Think about it. Lord, I will serve you. Tomorrow, next week, next month can or not? Our promise is also shallow, dodgy. But he said, I will give you now. Ask, I'll give it to you. You know, Jesus sees how important that Holy Spirit, that He wants to give it to you straight away when you are. He wants to give it because He realized that He is the power of intercession in your life. To intercede all the incoming arrows from the enemy, He will intercept and intercede. He will. He said, I'll give it to you, friend. You will have it. It's a promise that I make with you. You know, the Bible says that if you make a promise, it's better you carry it out. Don't make a promise and break it. Because you lose your integrity. Your trust is breached. Don't make promises. If you cannot, say, I cannot. But if you say, I can, make sure you do it. Because Jesus said, I'll give. The helper is a holy. Remember, the helper is God's gift. You didn't earn. You don't buy. You don't rent. You don't hire. It is a gift to you. How many of you like gifts? Come on. You know, I am a person till today. I hold the gift. Before go home, I cannot tahan in the car. I peep. Peep it open. I can I hold a gift, I cannot say tomorrow. I must see now. That's why my wife never tell me any secrets. One day I rock up and my birthday was going on. I said, how do you know? My wife arranged a birthday without telling me, because if she told me, I would have told the whole world, my birthday coming, all come. You know, I love gifts because gifts are filled with surprises, expectations. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you a gift. Be excited. Hey, be excited, man. Come on. Be excited. I have a gift. The giver gave me a gift. The giver loves me. And he gave me a gift. And I'm so excited. I'm a little child all over again. I've got a gift. Let me play with my gift. Let me walk with my gift. Let me enjoy my gift. It's a gift. God gives you a gift. He calls it another helper. Listen, not only is Jesus our help, he said, I give you another double help. Another helper. Wow, we must be really handicapped to have two helpers, huh? No, seriously. He said, I give you a help. Don't ever discount the Holy Spirit's purpose in your life. Don't ever discount. Neither do you devalue that. He said, I'll be there. It's a promise. God made the promise. He said, I will ask the Father. He'll give it to you. So, when you make a promise to God, please carry it out. Don't, you know, when you promise someone something and you don't do, you hurt that person. You can say a million sorries, but the hurt is registered for a million years. He said, I'll give you a gift. The second thing about this verse, he said, to be with you forever. Therefore, there is a permanent residence of the Holy Spirit in you. Permanent residence. Not PR, temporary residence. Permanent resident. You got PR. He's PR with you. Permanent residence. Not TR. Not dodgy ones. He comes in as a permanent. He's like Jesus. When we had Jesus, we had a physical presence. When Jesus left, he transferred that spiritual power, the physical power into the spiritual power of the Holy Spirit. He became our permanent resident now. He lives with us. He lives with you. He wants to be there forever. It is an eternal contract with you now. You know, wedding, do you know wedding is two components? When you do wedding, number one, when you sign your marriage certificate, it is called a contractual event. Marriage is a contract. You sign a document, two people sign. That becomes a legal tender to the world and for you, go to bank or anywhere. But before that legal contract is ever signed, there's a covenantal contract in your heart with God. In your heart, you made already with God and your partner. The marriage is just an expression of the contract. But covenantally is more important than the contract. The Holy Spirit is that covenantal agreement of God into your life. Permanent resident. I've given you a covenant of my presence. Wow. That's why in marriage, that's why after marriage, you got such thing as mother-in-law, father-in-law. Not outlaw, but in-law. Why? Because the document is a contractual document that now makes it legalized that person becomes your father-in-law. That's the legal aspect of it. Before that, you can't call him father-in-law. Mother-in-law? Not yet. Hold on. After sign, become in-law. So what does that? In the eye of the law, they are your parents now. Free marriage consultant. No need to charge. But think about it. But the covenantal one is in the heart. You bring comfort by giving us the Holy Spirit. You know? I tell you, you don't realize it until your inner person is in turmoil. When medicine outside can't deal, when nothing can, except the medicine within, called the Holy Spirit, will soothe and heal and deal. The Holy Spirit is His presence. When you go back, I want you to realize, don't take it too lightly when we talk about the presence of God anymore. It's a solemn, sacred, special thing to have. It's a special thing. Number three, the other part, he said, even the Spirit of truth. I just broke it up. If you leave me alone, I like to do this with the Bible. Huh? I look down, I look here, look up, look down, look everywhere, look around, and I try to break it up now. And then put back together. Huh? If you don't put back, you get into trouble. He said, even the Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit is the revelation of truth. He's the revealer of truth. One day, I was at a church, and somebody was speaking, and then he said this. He said, brothers and sisters, family of God, today, I've got a new revelation for you. Straight away, my alarm bells went up, red flags went up. I listened to what he said. After service, I said, I have also got a revelation for you now. I said, in Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the heavens. He said, yes. And I said, listen to this statement. This is a copyright. Huh? If you copy, copyrightly, please. I said, anything that is new is not true. Anything that is true is not new. So with so clever I am, wise, huh? So clever. Because the Bible said, there is nothing new. Everything has been done, made, created. Nothing new. It's hash. All revelation. There's no more new ones. Read your Bible. I can have a revelation this morning. God gave me a revelation. It's me, not you. And it's new to me because I've never heard it before, but it's biblical. But it's not for the whole church. And then I thought, wow, the Holy Spirit is like a, what do you call that? It's an indicator. When things are not right, He give you an alarm bell. Ding, 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 ding. Time to get up. Ding, ding. Or the red flag come up. That's why you need the Holy Spirit to be careful when you meander in that world out there. You meander around, not knowing who is waiting, who is at the corner there, awaiting you. Think about it, friend. The Holy Spirit will guide you, lead you into truth, warn you. Isn't that good, friend? You know, I wish I could be the Holy Spirit for my kids wherever they go, but I cannot. When my kids were young, every morning they go to school, we pray for them. And we say, Lord, we can send them out. You take over. I'm not omnipresent. I'm not around. But my trust is, you take care, Lord. He will lead, He will guide, He will bring them to truth. The world is full of confusion. There's a lot of falsehood out there. Today, it's so hard to tell the truth from the lie. I went to Hong Kong. I'm not any Hong Kong people here. I love you. Don't think I'm one of my, I'm not. I went to Hong Kong to buy Rolex. Serious. Because you know what? My father bought Rolex. So I said, well, he can, I also can. I went, I paid $5,000, 1970 plus. 5,000! I hold the watch like holding my baby. 5,000, bro. Nice Rolex. So nice. Show off. Then I sent to Seiko, you know, so to Rolex for service. And I warned the guy, don't this, don't that. He said, don't worry, no, we are agents, we know. 2 days later, I get a call. Please report to CID. I said, CID, what do I do? What's the Chenghu? What does CID do? You know why? I bought a fake one. Serious! The R fell down, became Polex. Polex! Wow, how can I be, you know how angry I was? How can I be so stupid? The other fellow, the guy said, look, it's Polex, the brother of Rolex. This is the lost brother. You know how angry I flew back to Hong Kong to go to the shop? He said, never see you, donor. Richie, donor. Look on. I cannot forget. Even I go to heaven, I want to remember how. You know, I come to this realization, today the false is more attractive than the truth. It glitters more than the truth. How much more we need a discerning eye to detect. This is the truth. From that day, I don't want to buy watch Rolex anymore. Rolex, Polex, all the one. I go, con. Think of that's a business con. Think about the spiritual conning that goes on with the devil. He deceives you. He misleads you. He cons you. And your eye ain't sharp enough to pick it up. That's where the Holy Spirit comes on as your lenses and say, no, that's a lie. I couldn't accept that because I'm known to be very smart. I work very clever. My mother always said, you're very clever. The clever can get conned also. These are not clever anymore, what? So now when I became a Christian, I always tell Anne, I said, I listen and I check. Because there's a lot of deception flying around. The enemy can make the lie look a truth. Smell like the truth, look like the truth, taste like the truth, but not the truth. How do you detect? That's where. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, show me, let me know. Think about it, church. We really need the Holy Spirit. Some years ago, I was going to prison, not for drugs, you know. I'm going to visit prison. Huh? And someone asked me, Pastor Bishop, can you get me the Aussie Bible? I said, where in the world got Aussie Bible? King James? Yes. Aussie. True enough, I went to Kurong. They started printing an Aussie Bible. They called God Mate and Mate like good friend. I said, I told the guy, no, this Bible not coming into prison. Throw in the dustbin. Now Kurong took it off the line because they found it's an abomination. The way they wrote about Jesus and God, like buddy buddies. How about a puff, Lord? Give me a double shot, Lord. Then I thought, these are very subtle way of deception. Be careful, church. Be careful. We are living in the end times. The enemy is working full time, overtime. Don't disqualify yourself. Keep alert, friend. Every time you succeed, the enemy is not happy, yeah? You know what's my name or not? How many of you know what's my name? What's my surname? When I was in church and my kids were growing up, every Sunday we sing, Jesus loves me, yes, I know. For the Bible tell. Oh, my kids, daddy, our name in the Bible, Miso. I said, that's true. Miso. And then all the Chinese in my church spell Miso, M-I-S-O, Japanese soup. Hey, I said, no, it's double S. Miso. One S is Miso, Japanese soup. I don't like a double S. So I tell my kids, you want to know anything? Ask daddy, Miso. He tell me, I tell you. But you know, the Holy Spirit is the one that really wants to tell us things, friend. It's so frightened when you hear people are mis... You know, this afternoon, when I was looking at the news, a lady got conned $43,000. Scam. Can people be so gundu or nutty or stupid? $43,000. $43, you also can't get out of me. I'm a bit of a Jew. I got a heritage in Jerusalem. But $43,000 for some silly gimmick? You know what it shows? The world is gullible. We are the most gullible of all creation. Animals are not so gullible as us. How much more as Christians is our spiritual life like that? Gullible. Gullible. Naive. You don't read the word. You don't study the word. You don't talk to the Holy Spirit. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Teach me. Because why? He wants to deceive you. You know, let me tell you, friend. Do you know, all of us are very popular people, that the enemy will go all out for you. And the kingdom of God will go all out for you. How much more popular can you be? Think about it. Jesus and the heavenly died for you. You. Here the enemy is raging a war against you. How popular. All the more, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Watch it. The Holy Spirit. The next thing I want to take from this verse, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees nor. The world system, the system of the world has rejected Christianity and Christ. Do you know that now? We have come to a stage, Christianity is rejected. If you say Christianity is true, they say you are a lunatic. It has almost come to this point where they have literally rejected Christ and Christianity. Christ and Christianity has become a bad word. We are the rejects now. One time we were the chosen. Now we're becoming the rejects. We go to reject shop and buy our things. We have become spiritually blinded. You know, the world is working fast to discredit Christianity and Christ. It's working overtime. And some of us are helping them. Consciously, unconsciously, subconsciously, we are helping them condemn Christianity. We are making Christianity a dead thing. What's happening to the church? You know why? We have lost the sensitivity of God's holy presence. We lost it. We lost it. You know, my wife and I went to an Indonesian restaurant. Just as we went in the restaurant, I saw this lady pregnant, but she looked such a mess. Some people pregnant look was so nice. Eh? You know the baby is going to come out nice. Some look like just came back from war. Then you don't know what kind of baby is going to come out. Eh? And then the lady was complaining, pain. So I thought, I am the most capable person in the restaurant. I went to her, I thought, what's your problem? Like I'm a midwife. I asked her. Then when I don't know, I told her, my wife is the midwife. She said, oh, Ibu midwife? He said, yeah. I said, my Ibu midwife. Oh, very good. They talked. Then and talked to her and everything. And then the lady said, listen, eh? She said, can you pray for us? Hey, hallelujah. That's my part. My wife, don't worry. I just said, you close the restaurant door. Tutup pintu. I said, tutup pintu. Come, we pray. We prayed for her. Serious. I don't care about the customers. She needs prayer. We prayed for her. Everything went off. Few months later, Anne met her. She was so happy. She said, my baby came out. I'm so thankful. Sensitivity, friend. Sensitivity. Money cannot buy. Money cannot buy that. I'm a capable fellow, but I asked the right thing. And my wife is a midwife. I don't know any tola there, handball. I thank God God gave me a midwife. Because I will ask. And the lady, the restaurant used to be called Agong. When I go there, I call me Agong. Oh, like king like that. They will move all the tables, all. Pastor Miso, take that table, that's for you only. The gratitude cannot be measured. Because why? The sensitivity of my heart allowed me to ask them and pray for them. We need that, friend. We are walking like dead zombies. Who used the word zombie just now? Eh? No, somebody used the word zombie. Eh? Who? Daniel? Eh? No. I had somebody use the, you know, we like zombie. We are walking but not seeing. We are hearing but not listening to things going on. We walk and we sing hallelujah, praise the Lord. We can be doing Christian thing and still doing it wrongly. He wants to be with you. I tell you, listen, kids, listen, my, you know, I don't call you kids. Huh? I always call my kids there. But listen, you want, I share with you testimony and you ask me so good. You know why? You have never allowed your life to be tested to bring forth a testimony. You have never. Even if you saw, you say frightened, better don't. You never let your life be tested that a testimony is born. Be careful. We are living in a worldly system that is crippling us. That the name of Jesus become a bad word. If you say you're Christian, they want to put you in prison. We're living in that world. How much more, brothers and sisters, do we need the Holy Spirit? How much more do you want me to convince you that we desperately need the Holy Spirit? We need Him. We need Him. Don't wait till you reach the most desperate hour of your life. He's here. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. You know, I was sharing with Daniel. I'm in a family of 9 boys, 9 brothers. I'm number 4. My mother's pet. My mother loved me. I think I'm the most chubby, good-looking kid. I eat a lot. I can eat anybody's food and nobody's food always. My mother loved me. Loved me so much. The day I became a Christian, my mother cursed me. Cursed me. Why you give your... Why you going to help drug addicts? They want to die. Let them die. Don't go and do this. My mother cursed me. The same mouth that blessed me, the same mouth put a curse on me. But I love my mother. Don't worry, I never fought. Anne is my witness. She loved my mother more than anyone else in my family. We loved my mother. Even though the word went round, the slander began, the whole rigmarole went up. I love my mother. I refused to migrate to USA because I wanted to be close to my mom. Because when my dad died, I promised to look after her. I made a promise. Your legal matter, anything. I fight the government for you. I look after my mom. I didn't go to States. I stayed in Australia because closer. But yet my mom got upset. That was years ago. Today, the name of Jesus is even worse. People hate that name. But one day, to cut that story short, one day my brother, I have a brother who got caught with 22 grams of heroin. In the Singapore legal context, clinically proven, 15 grams, they hang you. Hang till you die. My brother got caught 22 grams. That's when my element kicked in. That's when the best of Pastor Miso kicked in. I fought that case. I fought in the court. I fought every system that I work for. I teach law. I fought every system, every legal aspect. And my brother got 2 years and 6 strokes of the rotan only. My brother should have been hung. Should have been hung. And then my mother saw. I said, God prepared. God sent me for training because the big task is coming. And my mother began to love me. When I was leaving Singapore, she cried and told me, you're my best daughter-in-law. Sometimes, we got to do things that seem out of the routine that God can use His Holy Spirit to reveal something greater. In Singapore, they hang you, huh? When they pass the sentence in court, they say, you will be hung till you are dead, dead, dead 3 times, and then break the pencil, meaning no way. The only person who escaped the gallows, who is a pastor today, is Reverend Dr. Neville Tan. the first Singaporean. And he was in prison. He had the Bible and he read John 3:16. He became a Christian. God saw him through. God redeemed him. He is the living testimony of somebody that God intervened. Reverend Neville Tan. So I tell you, friend, I look at today's context, how much more I want the Holy Spirit. I will never go out and do drug work if the Holy Spirit is not me. I'll die. Definitely I'll die. Because you know why? I'm a gung-ho guy. I go before the gun. That's what I call gung-ho. But the Holy Spirit, you know, friend, walking nighttime, I don't know about you, in this middle of Melbourne Street, back lanes, cold, you look at every corner, there's something lurking behind. Druggies pushing needles in. I picked up a kid. Look exactly my Leroy, eldest boy, died in my hands. I tried to pull the needle, but I couldn't get it out. He died. Had a coroner's inquiry. And I came back and my life was tormented because I told, and he looked like my eldest son. I picked my son, he died. That's the war. That's the world we're living out there, friend. You're sleeping in your bed, so nice. You stay in here, whatever you have. You don't know the life on the streets, friend. Rampaging. Souls are rampaged. Families are broken. Lives devastated. The enemy is on a rampage. You take the trains in the morning, you don't know who is sitting next to you. You better pray. He may be suddenly, tap, he go insane. He slice you. You know, think about it. So many cases in the city. People be knife. All the more. But church, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. You know, I've come to a point, I got this phobia. My wife, when I go to any food court, I size up the area, I look at the area before I sit down. They call that spiritual mapping. Serious? And I tell my wife, if they attack this way, I block that way. She's a living. Whether that's phobia, but I'm very in tune. I'm in tune. If you want to take me down, you're not going to take me down without me knowing. And I think as Christian, do you walk about knowing that there's an enemy? He's going to trip you, bro. He's going to hit you there. And then you say, what, coincidence? Oh, accident. No, accident. He planned it already. You need the Holy Spirit. Amen? You have it. It's your gift. I can't take from you. I can't borrow also. You cannot lend me also. It's yours. Make use of it. Use it to the well-being that God has for you. Especially you got kids. I tell you, Kenny, I'm a pastor. My biggest fear when my kids were growing up is God. I'm a pastor. People know my heart. How much of people on the street I thought I could help them. What if my kid ended up a drug addict? Where do I stand before the throne grace of God? I plead. I never say, hey God, can you help my son? No, I plead. Because I tell you, the enemy many times went for our kids. I plead. I beg, Lord. I beseech you, Lord. Protect your servant, the family. Because nobody will protect us. The church will attack you. See, I told you, Pastor Miswa, we always got a negative word to say when somebody go down. The only one is God's Spirit. Frightened. We came to Australia, we live in drug centers, not a home. I never own a home. I live in drug centers with drug addicts. When I go out, I frighten my wife. He's alone. When I'm there, they frighten of me. But when I'm gone, I think of my wife and my kids. I go out on the streets. I can't be there. But you know what I knew? I found confidence. The Spirit of God would say, you go. I'll take care. And we made it through. We made it. Hallelujah. We made it, church. I'm here because I made it. Why? Because we pleaded with the Holy Ghost. He was the helper God sent for us. No one else could help me, friend. Some of the addicts are violent. Violent to the T. And provocative, you know, very provoking. And they don't know who I am. I say, when they provoke me, I smile. I say, bro, you don't know who you're provoking. Sit down. Take it over. Because if you don't, I'll make you sit down, you won't wake up. Sometimes I talk to them that way because it's, you know, in the underworld, this is, you have to speak with a louder tone and a harsher tone. If you're anything less, they will take it as you're gone on your head. Not me, bro. My head is high up. You can't get. I talk to them. But normally, I'm really good. I can worship with them. I can play. They always say, oh, Pastor Misho, on the pulpit, you're different, huh? You come down here. I say, yes. I'm a different man for a different occasion. But the Holy Spirit, you know, I tell you, I don't answer, but when we were in the drug center at nighttime, one day there's a fight on the roof. I said, people running. My director ran out. My director is an ex-bikey, and he ran. He's an ex-bikey. I bicycle, he motorbike. I stood there and I prayed my family. You will never really appreciate the Holy Spirit when the day comes that all else fails. Your only hope, the hope of all hope, is Holy Ghost, help me. Holy Ghost, help me. Help me through this. I need help. That's why the presence of God is so important. Just be in His presence. You know, as I come towards this life, sometimes I want to go and help. Sometimes I still get called. People say, Pastor Misho. Sometimes Anne would say, I think you're old enough now. No, that's a lot. Sometimes I don't want to become that only one. I say, praise the Lord. Pick someone else, Lord. I've done my run of life, Lord. Like, you know, I don't want to be the one only, the hero. I don't like to be hero. I am a hero. No need to be. I am a hero. Jesus has made me a hero. But the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is what is. You know, the Holy Spirit is crying and moving because His grief that many of us don't even appreciate His value. That's called grieving of the Holy Spirit. He wants to do, but you don't give Him the due respect, the due knowledge. You treat Him as a byword or a bystander. I want to be your life. Amen, church. That's why Jesus said, I give it to you. I gave you that gift. It's a personal gift from me to you. Take it. Take care. He'll care for you. He'll care. Your church will grow. Never fear. You know, if you know me, I'm not a hero, but I never fear. I never fear. If I know someone said, are you fearful to die? I said, dying, no fear. But the manner you die, sometimes fearful. Huh? Isn't that true? No? That's the logical thing. Not die. Because for a Christian, dying is not the end, it's the beginning. In the twinkling of an eye, you see something new. Faith. Please keep that Holy Spirit active. Listen, don't keep Him in cold storage or dormant. He is an active help in your life. Make Him active in your life. Amen? How would you like if your husband or wife made you in the cold storage? Don't use you. If you want, you make me feel of no value. But He wants to be the active part of your life. He's a gentleman that won't rush, but prompt. A gentleman that walks with you calmly, respectfully, if you would walk with Him. Amen? Church, I hope I have been able to drop it. That's the last thing I want to go. He says, you know Him, For he dwells with you and will be with you. The Spirit requires, listen, the Spirit requires a personal dwelling place. It's indwelling, living in you. You cannot take him out and put on the shelf. You cannot take him up in your pocket. He's indwelling, living. He's alive. You grow, he grows with you. He's alive. He's alive. He's growing with you. It's a deep thing in your spirit, the deep spirit of yours. He's growing with you. Maybe today, sitting in church, we don't really require the Holy Spirit. Sad to say that. I'm not condemning, I'm not judging. Because everything is so good. Everything is okay. Food, God, it's so nice. When you lose the basic necessities of life. And you walk the alleys. And you become frightened. Darkness, grief. You know, darkness has the power of bringing fear to life. Some people in dark area, their hair stand. I remember I was with an addict. He said, Pastor Bishop, my hair standing. I said, mine cannot stand. All fell down already. I said, why? He said, I can feel the spirit. I said, don't talk. It's your imagination. The enemy likes to come and do all these things. I said, if you walk with faith, walk with faith. God is seeing. God sees for us. I work midnight on the street. I work in the cemetery. I work midnight. I'm active midnight. I'm very nocturnal. Serious. I can't sleep. And I drink coffee. You know, let me tell you a testimony. Please don't drink too much. I used to drink 30 cups of coffee a day. That's my wife. Malaysian coffee, kosorbo. And then I eat all the seeds after that. Drink and eat. You know why I used to do coffee? I came from a drug background. Drug addicts in recovery go to caffeine. Caffeine is a high substitute for any drug. I drink the coffee. The seed, I love, I eat the seed. Until I went to see the doctor, I say, hello, bro. You're going to die. Your heart will fly out of you. You got too much of caffeine. I said, why? He said, where got people? I never drink water in my life. I don't drink water. I never drink water. I said, wasting time drinking water, no value. Serious, that was my argument. I drink water, empty, plainless. Drink coffee. I don't drink sugar. I drink thick, black cow, like engine oil. Yeah, my wife, she come to my office, she frightened. She said, what are you drinking, engine oil or coffee? Then I realized, you know, because I'm quite an addictive personality, I can get stuck to things like that. Now I drink about 2 cups a day. Now drink latte, a bit promoted. Got standard now. Drink latte. I said, kopi o kao. Black. Listen, friend. There's so many things that want to derail us. Even simple things in life can derail us. You know, I'm sure sometimes you wake up and say, I don't want to go to church today. And then you find an excuse, This is what they say. But anyway, at home also I can worship God, what? God is everywhere, what? Yes, well, he's in my room, he's in my kitchen, everywhere. Also the same if I worship. You know why? Going to church and meeting with people has a different dynamics. Sometimes that life is going to rub you and say one word that's going to change your thinking. But because you stayed away, you lost that. I love church. I love church. I love people. When my wife got cancer, I went to depression because I told her, please don't die. Serious, don't die. You're my best cook. You're the only cook I got. She cooks so good. And you're my only companion. I cannot live alone. I talk to the dog. I preach to my dog. I do sermon. I talk to the dog. The dog look at me. Hey, ho. What are you saying? Serious, my dog would sit down. Say, my master is crazy. But I will talk. I cannot don't have a moment of conversation. That's why I go to the mall. Just look at people. Talk to people. Serious, I'm not joking. In my mall, everybody knows me. How are you, brother? How are you today? How's your wife? Everything also I know. Wife, children, all. You know what I found out, friend? That's my gift. It's going to be silent one day. And before it gets silent, I'll make a big noise in heaven. Amen. So many people will be there. It's to be that. So whenever I have a prompting of the Holy Spirit, I will talk to someone. And that is the revelation of a miracle and a testimony. I told you the girl Elizabeth in the shopping, in the restaurant. I use words like this. I said, the Lord has sent me here to catch the lost sheep. You're the lost sheep. Come on, go home. I don't rehearse all this at home. I got no notes to practice. I don't rehearse, friend. It is automatically in my heart. I don't rehearse. Even my sermon, I don't rehearse, friend. I get the sermon I put and I let it articulate in my heart. Sing into my life. It's not about rehearsing what to say. How. No, I don't care how to say what. I say what needs to be said. On the streets, I talk, taxi driver, but I will talk. And people remember me. People remember. Even if they remember for wrong reason, I have left something there. When the Holy Spirit works, that something becomes alive. Think about it, church. I'm not insane. I'm very sound. I got sound mind. One day somebody told me, Pastor Mitchell, are you okay? I said, what do you mean by okay? I said, be careful, don't you KO. I'm okay. But I feel an urgency when I see somebody. Sometimes sitting there and I look at their life, suddenly there's an attraction. And I want to say something. So, how? I'm a master. Walk. Hello, how are you? What are you doing here? Just to create a conversation. That's why one day my church said, Pastor Mitchell, can you conduct a seminar for us? I said, well, how to talk to people on the street? I said, don't make me angry. Don't talk nonsense, I said. I said, how did you talk to your wife to be? Did you go and buy book? How to talk? How did I say? Hello, how is your name? Okay, good, my name. It comes automatically from your heart. It comes from you. And I love the Lord so much. I said, I have enough of the Bible in me. I want to share. How to tell you how to do? When we walk on the road, we make eye contact. After eye contact, give me a break, please. Give me a break. I'll go crazy talking to you. It's just, if you know me, and it's automatic, spontaneous. Especially when I have a word of God. Very spontaneous. It cannot but want to flow out. Maybe you are spontaneous, but fear has stifled it. I don't want people to think of me. What will people think of me? One day I talked to a lady at the mall. Suddenly she told me her whole life story. A divorce. Now from 5 minutes, we get 5 hours. But then, you know, I found out what? She needed a moment to ventilate. You carrying such heaviness in you, it can cause you to get a mental stress. Just talk. That's the best counselor. No agenda, no format. Talk. When was the last time you talked spontaneously for the Lord? Sit down and think. Search your soul. And ask yourself, there were moments I had that prompting, but I chose not to. The moment I felt it, Lord, but I rejected it. Why? Why? You know, all the food courts, and they love me when I go there. Yes. Not that I want free food, I don't want, but I was talking. And I don't know anything about cooking, but I will ask, what is this? When they mention that, I also don't know what I ask her. What is that? Huh? But you know, I want to talk. I was in hospital. I had a heart attack. I'm in hospital. The nurse came to me and said, give me 5. I mean, heart attack, and you say, give you 5 minutes to go for smoko. That time, I don't know what is smoko. And I'm asking, where is this nurse going? Where is smoko? Who is smoko? And then she came back 5 minutes later, smelling like the whole cigarette factory. And I said, man, you smell like a bloody cigarette factory. She said, I went and had a puff. And I said, you work in this world, it's a heart. You're not afraid? You get a heart attack? No, it won't happen to me. That's how people talk, huh? I won't go to hell. You're going to hell. Smoking in the ward. Then I learned a new word, smoko. I never knew what is smoko. They don't know where they come up with all these words. Huh? Then I thought, smoko. I said, huh? But you know, friend, I tell you, people, even for Christians, no, like, Pastor Vincent, I won't go to hell. God is gracious. And now the hyper grace kicks in. Hyper grace pulls the rug out under your feet. Don't worry, God loves me. Hyper grace. Once safe, always safe. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever safe. Never can get wrong. That's a dangerous grace. So, you need the Holy Spirit to correct you. You know, I was in the cancer ward. I preached. I went to talk to somebody. As I talked to him, he cursed me. He said, I was a Christian. You this, you're Jesus, this, what, gabug, dab, do. In my heart, I'm thinking, bro, you're already sick. Don't argue with me. But I talked to him. Then he's going. I let him rattle until he got no more breath. You know. Then I said, now I talk to you. Yeah, I talk to him. Because I know he cannot talk longer than me. What? He got all the tubes. What? Blah, 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 blah. He's going, it's okay, talk lah. After that, I talked to him and I shared with him. And he said, what's so different about your God? I said, no, there's no difference. My God is a true God. It's you who are different, I said. You have high expectations on the Lord, but you fail to realize God has expectations on your life also. He looked at me. I said, I'm a pastor. I'm talking to you. I come to visit you in goodwill. I don't owe you a visit. I said, but my wife is suffering cancer there. And I'm here. I said, you mean your wife got cancer and you're here? I said, yes. I want you to know, you're not alone in sorrow. I've got a wife suffering there. But I'm using that time to come and talk to you. Because I want to pray for you. I want to believe God will heal you. That time already, I can talk. He can't talk already. He's out of wind. And I prayed for him. I prayed. So then I realized, people are hurt. People are really dead. For all the, my wife, I walk in, I go in 8 o'clock in the morning, I do my doctor's rounds. I go and see every bed. And then I dress up also, you see my beard, I wear long sleeve shirt. The nurse see me also like, don't have to talk. Serious. I go there. So then one day, all the nurses talking about my wife outside, I was standing, huh? They're looking at me. Next thing I went, I sit down in my wife's ward. When they came in, they saw me, ah, what are you doing here? I said, this is my wife. Yeah. The nurse looked like, this fellow like spy like that, huh? But every bed, every morning I go in, I go to every bed, I pray. One day someone asked me, are you a doctor? I said, yes and no. I'm not a medical but spiritual doctor. What do you need? Painkiller, okay, I call him. But I go, you know, friend, I found joy. You know, I brought joy to 26 patients there. I met a girl, 20-something years old, 20 plus, studying, what's that? Sports science. Beautiful Malaysian girl, dying stage 4 cancer of the lung. The moment I told her Jesus loved me, she said, let me tell you, you tell your Jesus, I'm 24 of 25, I'm dying of a sickness. I never smoked a cigarette in my life. Now tell me, how can God love me? And I thought, wow, I got caught this one, huh? But you know how God is good? Not even 5 minutes, her father walks in, came from outside, he smells like Malaysian Tobacco Company walking. And he came to her and I told the father straight in front of the doctor, I said, you kill your daughter. Then he looked at me, who are you? Like, who are you? You who doctor? I said, you kill this one because you smoke, she died. The doctor standing there, they don't also say anything. Maybe the doctor said, thank God he said that. Huh? Serious. I found an excuse. I don't know how to answer to the girl. So I took on him, eh? And then I prayed for the girl. I prayed for her and I told her, listen, I said, Jesus loved you. I prayed for her a couple of days. And then one day I went there. They said she's gone. I thought died. She went home. So my heart is believing the work has begun. She's 24 years old. Don't deserve to die. And then a lady in the ward said, I'm dying in my final year. I never saw my pastor for 10 years. I'm a Christian. Nobody visited me. Nobody cared about me in the nurse. I'm here. Thank you. You're the first pastor to come. I thought to tell her, I'm the first and the last. You're going home? Well, let's go home together nicely. Then I thought, friend, you want to see miracles? Get up of your seat. Let the Holy Spirit lead you to places. I would sit in my wife's ward, and in that ward, some days I write 5 sermons out of the heart that I see. I write 5 sermons a day. I don't need Bible reference. Huh? Let me tell you, I have a very sharp mind. I can recall that verse and look. I don't use all the added tools and all that. Huh? And I use my heart to write the sermon. And I thought, wow, to see that life in that ward makes me want to value my life more. I have but one life. One day that life will be extinguished. What would I leave behind? A burnt wick? Would I leave a burnt wick? Or a whole crowd of people rejoicing for that light? Let's pray. Abba Father. Abba Father. Lord, only you can bring the true value of the Holy Spirit to us, Lord. The words of men cannot convince, Lord. There's no ability to convince someone, Lord, except the conviction of the Holy Ghost that you work in our lives. Let us know, Lord, we are living in end times, threatening times, testing times. Many loved ones will slip into hell, Lord, if we don't raise up and rise up. I pray for my family, my loved ones. I pray for my kids. I pray for my wife. I pray for my extended family, Lord. Your Holy Ghost works with them. Your Holy Ghost do that work, Lord. That the Holy Ghost would work with me to bring words of encouragement and hope to my family, Lord. And I pray for every family here, Lord, at the camp who came with expectations. May they find the joy, Lord, in the knowing the Holy Ghost is doing that work for them. We had a wonderful camp so far, Lord, but we want a better one, Lord. We don't want to leave this place half-cooked. We want to leave this place fully, Lord, consumed by the Holy Ghost, till overflowing, till overflowing. That's my purpose for coming here. That's my joy. That's my expectation, Lord. And I know, Lord, you never fail. You said, delight in the Lord, and He will grant you the desire of your heart. Psalms 37:4. Delight in you. Lord, I find delight and joy in you, Lord. My delight is in your presence, Lord, that you may grant me the desires of my heart. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. I love you, Lord. I love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Kenny.